Good morning. Would you open your Bibles to Job 23 if you're not there yet? Job chapter 23 is where we... 23, what? You know. Thank you. Are you suggesting vacation brain is still here? Just might be. It's good to be back from vacation with you. Job 28. The screen is right. The brain is wrong. Job 28. We're in a section right now in Job where you have the tendency in the middle of the book of Job, if you've read through it, to kind of want to summarize it and just say there's four guys arguing with each other and let's just kind of move on, you know. Job's got some words, a friend has some words, they argue with each other. Job says some more, next friend rises up, he makes an argument, Job refutes that and then says some more, and you kind of just want to hurry up and get to chapter 42 sometimes and when you're doing that. And I want to spend a little bit of time here in the middle in a section that we often miss because this is where Job has, in his mind, successfully defeated the arguments of his friends. And he spends what are in our Bibles about three chapters now in these discourses as he just starts talking in general about his perspective about life, and in particular, what is necessary to endure significant trials. And like I said, as you go through Job, you can miss that. Here's Job kind of making some really important faith statements about suffering and how he's ultimately being able to stay faithful to God and endure in the face of the difficulties that he is experiencing. So what we're going to look at is chapter 28 this morning, and he's going to talk about the wisdom of suffering. But I want you to listen to the first 11 verses, because as you read this and hear this, you kind of might wonder, where is Job going with all of this? Verse 1 of Job 28, "Surely there is a mine for silver and a place for gold that they refine. Iron is taken out of the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to the darkness and searches out to the farthest limit, the ore and the gloom and the deep darkness. He opens shafts in the valley away from where anyone lives. They are forgotten by travelers. They hang in the air far away from mankind. They swing to and fro. As for the earth, out of it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the place of sapphires, and it has the dust of gold. That path has no bird of prey knows, and the falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud beasts have not trodden it. The lion has not passed over it. Man puts his hand to the flinty rock and overturns mountains by the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams so that they do not trickle, and the thing that is hidden he brings out to light." And you kind of almost think, okay, the suffering of Job has gone too far, and now he's just kind of talking about things in life. But I want you to notice that what he's doing in this first section is describing the way we are able to pursue things that we think are ultimately valuable. He is describing these pursuits that you could go through in trying to find either gold or silver or precious stones. And verses 1 and 2, we mine for those various things. Verses 3 and 4, we dig a shaft and shine a light into the darkest regions of the earth. Verses 5 through 8, we dig into areas where no animal has ever walked. Verses 9 and 10, we pull apart rocks and find precious stones. Verse 11, damming up waters to dig what is underneath. I don't know if you noticed like many years ago, but like those Discovery History channels out there had an explosion of mining television shows. And it's fascinating to see, we not only dig like on the ground, but in the sides of mountains and under the water. And there's even people doing it in ice. And I'm like, that's really crazy. Here you are out there in the ice and you're digging and all that. And the whole image is that how far will you travel and how much effort will you give to be able to pursue for something that's valuable? And for 11 verses, he just lays it out and he says, we dig all over the place where animals have not been, far away from other people. We will dam up rivers and dig into stream beds and we will look all over the place. One of my favorite things to watch is other people with metal detectors. I mean, you're just hoping. Walking around in a park, just hoping that somebody drops something more significant than a bottle cap as they're waving everywhere. And I think you spend all of these hours and all of this time. Why would you walk around a park looking and doing that, and their thing goes off and there you are digging away only to find absolutely nothing? Because you will pursue hard for something if you think it's valuable. You will dig to the ends of the earth if you think you can find treasure and valuable things. Now notice what Job is going to do with this in verse 12. But where is wisdom found? Here he starts talking about we can dig anywhere and everywhere, and we dig in all of these places. But, verse 12, where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not within me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, or precious onyx, or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Abaddon and death say, we have heard rumors of it with our ears. Notice the imagery of how elusive wisdom is. And he asked the question in verse 13, where are you going to look for it? Where are you going to be able to find it? And where are you going to travel to be able to go seek it? Verse 14, it's not going to be found in the ocean. You know, we can do all the ice and digging shows out there, but you're not going to stumble across a box of wisdom and go, hey, look what I found. Wisdom is here. It's not in the deep. He says in verse 15, you can't go to the store and buy it. Go to the mall. Get on Amazon. Type in wisdom. Send me a box. Overnight it. I'm ready for some wisdom. It can't be purchased. Nowhere can you go. No store sells it. You can't buy a pound of wisdom. The value of wisdom, he says in verses 16 through 19, cannot be compared to gold or any of the valuable stones that could be valued in the land. Wisdom is so much more valuable than anything that you could have on earth. But notice Job is saying, but where do you get it? Where do you find this wisdom? Where are you going to go to be able to possess it? I love that you even have in the end in verse 22, even the grave, Abaddon, and death, even they say, we don't know. We've heard rumors of this wisdom thing, but it's not even here in us. Death is not going to be the place where you're going to find the wisdom you need. And now here is what I want us to think about for a moment, is what Job is noting right here is really important. Humans are not the source of wisdom. That's like earth-shattering today, I think. We are not the source of wisdom. We like to think that we are able to generate wisdom. We like to think that we are the source of wisdom. But what I want to spend a minute thinking about is just a little bit, and you can do this list on your own. You can have a great fun this afternoon. I want you to talk with your family, your friends about this, and just think about what the common wisdom of the day is that humans have generated either today or over time. One of them that I grew up with, we were told when we were kids, we needed to leave the world a better place. In fact, there was a whole song about it that was given to us that was super popular. So we were the world, and we were the children, and we were going to make it a better place, so you better start giving. Okay. There's wisdom. But think about that for a minute. Why is that wisdom? Why is that the goal of life? Why would that be the ultimate reason for our existence? Why is making the world a better place our life purpose? What is the motivation to do such a thing? Because somebody said you should. we just say to each other, I think this is wisdom. This is what you should do. Okay, why? What's the basis? What's the motivation? What's the reason? And why would that be my life purpose? My whole purpose here is to make things better than when I found it. Okay, why? To what end? To whose goal? And when do we know that we've crossed it? When do we finally say, we've achieved it, it's a better place? High five all around, yay us. Or one that I think is becoming common right now is, you just need to be nice, that's your purpose. I understand why we say it anymore, it doesn't seem like people are nice anymore. But is the whole reason you exist and why you just took a breath right now is because your goal in life is to be nice. You need to be nice. Well, why can't I just be my natural self? Why do I have to be nice? What's the motivation? What's the reason? Why is that so important? Why does that matter? You see, what happens as I go through these is you're going to see that we come up with things that we put forward and say, this is life, this is purpose, and this is wisdom. And if it's human wisdom, I go, okay, but let's dig a little deeper and understand that's really empty and hollow. For example, we need to improve the human condition. Okay, well, what does that look like? And how do we know when we've achieved it? How is that any better? And I want you to think about, in our world today, everybody's got a different definition of what the human condition should be improved and what that needs to look like. And there's a whole big argument about that going on right now, about what that's supposed to be and how we're supposed to achieve it and what that's supposed to look like. Okay, there's wisdom, but why? And how do we get there? Or here's one that used to be for a long time. This one's existed for many, many, many centuries. We don't have a purpose. You're just a thing breathing. You just happen to be here. Good luck to you. You don't have a reason, which might be one some of the most depressing ideas you could possibly consider in your mind. You have no reason to be here and nothing is happening and you have no purpose. That's depressing. That's certainly empty. That's a very Ecclesiastes point of view. And I think it's important to think about that, even to say, well, we have no reason. Well, then that is why we feel empty, if I have no reasoning or purpose here. But I think it's funny if you talk to anybody who says, well, we have no purpose. Doesn't it seem like within us we all have this sense that there must be something more? There is this curious thing that has been put within us, I suggest to you by God, that is trying to tell us there must be something more. It can't just be what's here. To say we have no purpose, there is no reason, feels hollow and empty as well. When I was a kid, my dad had a sign that made fun of this. It wasn't this one, but I'll tell you how he made fun of it. But this was a common one. The one who dies with the most toys wins. Right? You get the most toys, you win. You got possessions. I remember seeing them on license plate holders. The one who has the most toys wins. Okay, win what? What'd you get? So my dad had one that he put on his car. It says, the one who dies with the most toys still dies. That's right. You didn't avert anything. You didn't accomplish anything. Is the great purpose of life to get as much stuff as possible? That's human wisdom? That's what it's all about? Or how about this? Just, you know, don't worry, be happy. Just be happy. And if that is our human wisdom and that is our great purpose, then think about how sad that is, because there's a lot of things that happen in your life and in the world that are outright sad and depressing and harsh and terrible. And so how do you cope with a life when you're told that the only goal of life is to be happy, when there's not happiness in your life, or there's not happiness in your family, or your happiness in your community? Then how am I supposed to have this great purpose that you've thrown upon me? Or we could just go to, it's all accidental existence, you know. One day, way on back, a bunch of gases got excited, blew up, and here we all are. Good to see you. What I'm wanting you to think about is, even if you think about an Amazon bookstore or one that's a physical one, is think about how many people have written so many books and have tried to put forward so much philosophy to try to put their finger on, here is wisdom. Here is life. Here's why you're here. Here's your purpose. Here's what it's all about. And what Job is ultimately doing right now is going through this and saying, you realize we are not the source of wisdom. You are not going to dig within yourself somewhere and come up with a great answer on, here's wisdom, I've got it. Now I've got it all figured out. I have the aha moment. Let me sell some books. It's not going to be that way. And Job is recognizing that you cannot purchase wisdom. You cannot find wisdom. You cannot go anywhere to be able to have this kind of wisdom. So he's asking the question, where does it come from? Verse 20, where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Now notice this really important shift in verse 23. God understands the way to it. Isn't that interesting? Here's this picture of humans can dig and find, and we get gold, and we get all these precious things. We're all over the place. And look at we can accomplish. Look at we can achieve. But wisdom we can't find. But God knows the way to it. You don't know the way to it. I don't know the way to it. Nobody knows the way to it. Nobody's got a book that's going to give you the answer to it. But God knows the way to it. And he knows its place. Verse 24, he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Who else can do that? Who's able to take in the whole of human existence and look down upon it all and synthesize it all together and say, here's what's going on. He looks down to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he gave the wind its weight and apportioned the waters by measure, when he made the decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then he saw it and declared it and established it and searched it out. I want you just to hear this picture. Here is he saying, God has wisdom, he knows what wisdom is, he knows where wisdom is, and he has considered wisdom, evaluated wisdom, established wisdom, and he's confirmed it. God's got it all right here. It's like, I got the answer for you. Verse 28. And he said to man, notice God didn't say, I know where wisdom is, good luck. Verse 28, and I'm going to tell you all about it. Here is the most precious piece of information you can have for life. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. I want to begin by something just baseline, and then we'll dig out some applications here. But here's the really important baseline. Wisdom is found in God, not you or me. Wisdom is found in God, not in other people. Wisdom is found in God, not in human writings and not in other books or other places. Wisdom is found in God and God alone. Now, this has really important implications because that means the meaning of life and our purpose and all of our existence is not something we invent or manufacture. That's not something that we have to come up with. It is not something that is accidental. And it means that our value and our worth is not earned or based on achievements. I think I should say that one again. Our value and our worth is not based on what we earn or our achievements and our identity is not self-created, and it's not found within yourself. This is important godly philosophy being put forward. When we accept wisdom is found in God and God alone, that strikes down so many answers about what our world tries to put forward as the way to live life, as the way to find purpose, as the way to achieve meaning, or to define success, or to be who you are, or to find your true you. That all gets thrown out the window, because what he's trying to tell us in this very first picture is that wisdom is means that you have to have God. To have wisdom, you have to have God. Now I want to break that down for a second, because wisdom and knowledge are not the same things. You ever known somebody who's really smart and you went there, but they're really dumb? Me. He's like, I've got knowledge, but the application of knowledge is wisdom. You can know a lot of things and not know what to do with it. Every holiday, our family likes to break out a puzzle. Throw all the pieces. We had a horrible one a few years ago. Chick-fil-A horror show. Just a chicken sandwich. Good luck. I know what I'm supposed to do with this. I even have the picture box of what it's supposed to look like. But I did not have the wisdom to put that thing together. And we all about burned that thing down. That was so bad. Knowledge, what I know I should do, and having the information is not the same as knowing the process of how to put it all together and to make it work. And this is where God is leaning into us, is you can have knowledge and not have wisdom. And friends, when it comes to life, and in particular our context of Job, when it comes to suffering, wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge to the circumstance in your life so that you can make the right decision at the right time. That's what wisdom's about. Wisdom is about taking the information and the knowledge you have and applying that knowledge in the right way to make the right decision so that you can carry that out. And that is what Job is proclaiming here. You might remember James. Think about the New Testament, James chapter 1 and verse 5. When James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Get in a submarine and try to go find it somewhere? Dig deep within yourself and find it within you? Go buy a book somewhere that'll tell. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives it generously. The whole point that James starts off with, remember two verses earlier, he was saying, count on all joy, about trials. And then he turns right around and says, you need wisdom. And here's Job, in the midst of his suffering, he says, we look for all these things and we fail to look to God for wisdom. And wisdom is exactly what we need, but we will look everywhere else for help in our suffering. We will ask anybody else to try to point us in the right direction. We will listen to anybody who gets on TV or gets on a radio show or gets on a podcast and talk about life purpose and meaning and here's why you exist. It's only in God and it's not anywhere else. And Job is wise enough to understand that. And that is what is being told to us here. To have wisdom, you must have God. And then he leans into that a little bit more in verse 28 when he says, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. Now, I think we have to define that, because I think if I took a poll of America and I would say, do you fear God? I think they'd go, yeah. Oh yeah, I fear God. But fearing God means obeying God. That's the whole essence of what that means. I'm going to illustrate it, then I'll explain it. So let me illustrate it first. Many years ago, we had a chance to go to Washington, D.C., and we were able to spend some time at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And if you've ever been there, you will know that is one of the more solemn places where you can be. That is a very respectful place. This is not a place where you run around. This is not a place where you talk. This is not a place where your cell phone goes off. This is not a place that you just haphazardly, oh, hey, it's the Tomb of the Unknown. No, 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 no. When you walk in, you can tell this is a serious place. And there is a fear on two levels. There is a fear in the positive sense of an appreciation of what this is all meaning and representing. And there's also a fear in a negative sense, because I saw it happen. Those soldiers will yell at you and escort you right out of that place if you get out of line in any way. You start having conversations, the guy yelled up there, "Quiet! This is not a place for that." I was like, "Ooh, not playing here." There was a fear to the positive of awe and respect and reverence for what it was, and a fear for if you stepped out of line, there were going to be consequences. Friends, when we start talking about the fear of the Lord, it is those concepts. It is a fear of the positive, yes, that you are in awe and respect of who God is. And you understand that you are in the presence of the Lord, and it is time that we will listen to Him because we have reverence for Him. And there is also the other side of that fear that understands, if I don't do what He has asked me to do, there are consequences to it. And He is using that idea here. The fear of the Lord, listening to the Lord, obeying the Lord, understanding who He is, the gravity of His character, and our willingness to obey because of not only His goodness, but also the severity of not, that, He says, is wisdom. And that should be what is driving our lives, friends. The smartest thing that you and I can do in life is obey God. Do we understand that? The wisest thing that we ever do in life is to obey God, to listen to what He says to do and to do it. Friends, the fear of the Lord is supposed to be the anchor for our lives. The anchor for our lives is not in our feelings or in our think-sos. The anchor for our lives is ultimately to be in the fear of the Lord. Now, here's my big question for you. If the fear of the Lord is not your anchor, then what is it? If that's not driving your life, then what is it? It has to be something. We all have a basis. We all have a grid, a matrix by which we make decisions. Then what is it? Is it that we are just random accidents? Is it just, you know, be happy? Is it be comfortable? I really do think today the wisdom of the world right now is put it through the lens of does it make me happy? That's why it's becoming a dangerous place. Because all of our definitions of what makes us happy slamming into 6 billion people is going to be a problem if that's the grid. What's your anchor for life if it's not fearing the Lord? Can I say it like this? I think this is Job's key point. The wisest thing you and I can do in the midst of suffering and when life is falling apart is to seek the Lord and obey Him. The wisest thing you and I can do is to seek the Lord and turn from evil. And I want you to tell me a better answer than that. When we wrap up in a couple minutes and you're walking out, give me a better answer on what is the grand purpose of life and what is the wisest thing you can do when life is falling down. What we do today, we pick all of these things as if they're going to be great answers. Comfort does not fix our suffering. Sexual immorality does not fix suffering. Drug and alcohol use does not fix suffering. Validation does not fix suffering. All the things that we try to put on the board of this is going to make it so much better, it doesn't make it better. You're still there. And there's no improvement. Fearing the Lord, obeying the Lord, and turning from evil, that is wisdom. And friends, so often what we choose to do when life gets hard, we choose the most foolish thing, which is disobedience to God and to move into sin. We will excuse it. Well, you don't understand. My life is so difficult. Things are so hard. I need to go into sin because if you only knew how bad it was, that's why I'm doing this. Or things are so bad in my life, I'm going to have to put God on pause for a while and go sort out my own way and seek my own thing. And I'll get back to God eventually, but you just don't understand how crushing. Listen to what Job is saying right here. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The worst thing we can do, the most foolish thing we could ever do is to stop fearing the Lord when life gets hard. And it's our greatest temptation. Life gets hard and we give up on God. And I want you to remember, Job has been, who knows, at least months, if not longer, in some of the most awful points of suffering right now. And here he is able with clarity to say, wisdom is to seek God even as I sit in this pain. Let me crystallize this one other way, then the lesson will be yours. Listen to how the Apostle Paul said this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. You say, I don't know where wisdom is. You got a visible sign of it, a visible proof of it, visible representation of it in Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom from God. To fear the Lord and to turn from evil is to seek Jesus, the pursuing of wisdom. You say, I want wisdom for my life. I need to know the way I need to go. I need to figure out this thing going on. I recognize the emptiness of this world and it doesn't give purpose. And dying with the most toys certainly is not the answer. And I have a bunch of things, but I still feel empty. The place to search, the place to start is by seeking Jesus. That is what Paul is driving at us. Because of him, you're in Christ Jesus. He became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Friends, God's wisdom was made visible in Christ Jesus. What an amazing, amazing thing. Because where else are you going to find it? And what else are you going to use for your life purpose? Your life purpose is this. Seek Jesus. That's why you're here. That's why you're breathing. That's why you exist. That's why, if Lord willing, the sun comes up tomorrow, you know what you're supposed to do. Seek Jesus. That's wisdom. That's living right. That's living wisely. That's taking the knowledge of God and applying it properly. That is what God has called us to do. Friends, seek Jesus and obey him. And especially, 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 when life hits you hard, you need more of Jesus in your life. And I appreciate that Job is able to step back at the end of this and say, boy, we pursue everything, but who wants to pursue the fear of the Lord? Who wants to see how valuable it is to obey the Lord and to turn from evil? That is riches beyond measure that your job cannot pay you and all of your comfort cannot achieve for you. Seek the Lord to find the wisdom for life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you sent your Son to be the embodiment of wisdom so that we knew the way to go, how to live our lives, that he taught us how to turn from evil and how to live lives in an understanding way seeking you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us Forgive us when we do not fear you, because we do not obey you, because we are either caught up in the things of this world or we are crushed down by the trials of life. And Lord, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts the true wisdom and the wisdom that we need for life and the wisdom that we need through suffering is to seek you, to love you, and to obey you with all of our hearts. Lord, strengthen us in our effort and forgive us for our failure. In Jesus' name, amen.